KBGG Des Moines, a Cumulus Sports station. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Online at 1700thechamp.com. Steen on Sports is on your radio now.
Welcome back in and happy Thursday, everybody. Another beautiful day out there today. Thank you for joining us. And you're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. You can check out my podcast page at Steen on Sports at audioboom.com. And it is my pleasure to be bringing in the athletic director for the UNI Panthers, Mr. David Harris. David, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing better now. It's been a while since I've got to talk to you with a little bit of COVID going on and all the things that you've had to do. And the radio show went away for a while, but it's back. And you were one of the first persons that I wanted to have on. And I'm glad you're here. Tell my audience and myself, what's it been like for you going through this COVID and everything with the athletic program at UNI?
So for me, and I would say for our department, I think it's been a time where I can best describe it as saying it's one of those time periods where every day when you come to work, you know that things can change in a heartbeat. So as you're putting together plans and as you're trying to figure out what's going to happen and what needs to happen next, you can do all the work and you can do all the planning in the world. But you know that based on things that evolved over the past year, all of that planning can go away really quickly as rules change or the protocols change or the things that you're asked to do to try to prepare your department and your student athletes to be able to get back to competition could change at any time. So I think if you talk to anybody in college athletics who's been dealing with this for the past year, they would tell you, you know, everybody knows about all of the testing and contact tracing and all the things that we've been attempting to do to try to keep everyone safe and trying to have fans at the games and all of that. But behind the scenes, really what's been a part of the big challenge is just things are happening rapidly. They're changing quickly, and you have to be light on your feet, so to speak, to be able to adjust to whatever the new reality is each day. So it's certainly been a busy time, a challenging time, but we have great people here that have helped us to be able to navigate this. And so I'm very fortunate in that regard.
And just to add a little bit to that, right before I went on the show today, University of Iowa women's basketball team was getting ready to play the Michigan basketball team, and they pulled Iowa was out shooting, and Michigan was coming out to shoot, and they pulled them off the court because of COVID protocol, and nothing's come up to say anything different as far as I know right now. That is exactly what you're talking about, that things could change from one minute to the next. So, you know, with everything that you're doing, I've tried in the 3 weeks that I've been on is trying to get everybody to understand what all the coaches and all these student athletes have been going through. You know, as fans, sometimes we get too boisterous and we get too into something and we say things we shouldn't. And I'm trying to get everybody to understand that we shouldn't be doing any kind of booing, screaming, yelling, only good stuff for everything that the student athletes and the coaches are going through.
Certainly. And they're going through a lot just to be able to have a chance to be able to coach and compete. And they're doing it through difficult circumstances. And so, you know, we talked about the testing and the frequency of the testing and how they are, in many cases, trying to isolate themselves so that they don't get COVID and have it impact the rest of the team. And just the isolation that can go with being in that world and trying to work hard and to make sure that you're prepared for what you need to do academically as well as athletically has put a lot of stress, I think, on student athletes across the board. And so I'm especially sympathetic to them. I'm also sympathetic to our coaches. But our coaches are grown men and women who are doing this as a profession, and they have probably a more advanced ability to be able to handle some of the stuff that's coming at them. If you're talking about our student athletes, you're talking about some that could be 17 or 18 years old that are dealing with something that, you know, no one has ever had to deal with in our lifetime. And trying to do that effectively can be really challenging. And so when you look across the board, you can see that maybe some of your favorite teams or student athletes are not doing the things that you would like them to do or competing the way that you would like or winning the games that they would in the past or that you would like them to win. But I certainly agree with you from our standpoint. We are really appreciating the work that's being done by so many people just to give us a chance to be able to compete. And, you know, every time we go out, we want to be able to have success. We want to win every game, every match, every meet that we're a part of. And that includes this year. But certainly this year is a year where you have to look at it a little bit differently and understand that a lot of people are going through a number of things that the general public is not aware of just to have a chance to be able to compete, then you have to be able to give that your full respect.
I totally agree. Once again, we're talking to David Harris. He's the athletic director at the University of Northern Iowa Panthers. Let's start with the sports programs. Let's start with the wrestling program. Our Big 12 championships, are they scheduled?
They are. They're scheduled for next weekend. I don't have the dates in front of me, but a week from Saturday, they're Saturday and Sunday in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as they have been in the past.
That is good. And once again, I talked with Cody Goodman yesterday about how amazing it was that the high school state wrestling made it all the way through and had a season and had a championship. And I'm glad for once again, even collegiate wrestling, it's a different breed of a sport when you're talking about COVID with the proximity and sweating and all that. And I'm glad that they, maybe not a full season, but at least they get to participate and they get to try for a Big 12 championship and an NCAA championship.
Right, and that's something that they did not have a chance to be able to do last year. You know, they didn't have the NCAA championship, and I know that for a number of, student-athletes, for a number of wrestlers, that was a big kind of hole in their lives and in their careers because they work the entire year. They work the entire time that they're on our campus, and even before that, to just have a chance to be able to wrestle for a national championship. And so to be able to have championships this year is big for them. And I know that they're looking forward to it and they've been working towards it and they want to have a chance to be able to get out there and show what they can do. So despite the fact that the year is different and maybe it's been a little bit shorter and not had as many matches as you would normally have, it is no less important to those student athletes, to those wrestlers, to have a chance to get out on the mat and compete for a championship.
Totally agree. In talking with basketball and with Coach Warren and Coach Jacobson, dealing with an injury to quite certainly could have been an All-American this year, and A.J. Green still having fighting hard in their season. And Coach Warren doing a great job with a young team and, you know, being 7-7 in conference and fighting their way. You have to be proud of both coaches. Once again, they're still, they're so focused. And that's the part of COVID that I don't think everybody understands is it takes focus away because you have to worry about something else on top of what you normally do. So both having really good years and you just never know what could happen as the season progresses.
Well, the beauty of college basketball is that you always have the conference tournament at the end of the year. So if you have not had a good regular season or it hasn't been as good as you would like, you know that you have a chance to redeem yourself, so to speak, with your play at the tournament. So that's always something that's hanging out there at the end of the season that I'm sure coaches across the league continue to push toward and focus on and try to make sure that their team is ready for it. But to your point, we're fortunate to have two of the best coaches, you know, in basketball within our league right here at UNI. And I think their success and their experience and the number of years that they have under their belt leading those programs has probably helped them as much as it could as you're going into sort of an unprecedented situation and dealing with the pandemic. So I know that their leadership has been a big part of giving us even a chance to be able to fight through the adversity that we've needed to fight through. And on the men's side, it's not just the adversity of COVID, but losing, you know, last year's player of the year. And trying to find a way to come together as a team and be able to deal with that and still be effective and still go out and be competitive. So I'm sure if you talk to Coach Jake, he would tell you we're not having the kind of season that we wanted to have. And even Coach Warren, the team has been doing better, would tell you that she would like to have more success. But I think Panther fans can certainly appreciate that we have two of the best coaches coaching those programs. They are working every day to get everything they possibly can out of our team, out of our student athletes, and our young men and young women are going to continue to play hard every time they have an opportunity to put on the Panther uniform and go out there. And so if you're a fan, if you're a supporter, know that you're going to get the very best that these young men and women have to offer when they put on the Panther uniform.
And we always appreciate Coach Warren and Coach Jacobson and Coach Schwab. But then you have kind of the anchor, and Coach Farley is getting ready to do something that he's never done before, and that's play a bunch of football in a short amount of time. We got about 4 minutes left. Try to explain to my audience what kind of schedule they're dealing with here.
Right, so we are playing an 8-game conference-only schedule that started last week. And so we will play 8 games and then have an opportunity to hopefully be selected to play in the playoffs. So the season started last week and we'll go through either May 16th or 17th when the national championship is being held. So for our football players, you know, they have not had a chance to compete since December of 19. And so last week was the first chance that they had to compete in about, you know, 14 months or so. And so they have, over the past 14 months, gone kind of ridden the wave of being in practice, being out of practice, having workouts, not having workouts, being at home doing classes, being here doing classes online, being here doing classes in person, and everything in between. So they have done a remarkable job of just continuing to work and staying patient and staying in shape and waiting for their opportunity to come to be able to play. And so now that it's here, I know they want to take advantage of it and make the most of it and make sure that this can be a season that will be a success. But I guess I also want to make sure people understand that one of the things that they're doing that's unprecedented in my mind is that we're playing in the spring. We're going to take a short break during the summer, and then they're going to come back hopefully for a full season in the fall. So we haven't had a situation where we've had a football program that's tried to play close to two full seasons in a calendar year, but that's what we're going to be doing in FCS football. And so we'll need to be smart about the things that we do this summer, and we'll certainly need to be smart about how we help them rest and prepare as we go in the fall. But you're right, they're playing a bunch of football at a time of the year when they normally wouldn't be playing right now. But I think given everything that they've gone through, they're happy to have a chance to compete because it's been a long time. They've been preparing for this. And this is what they came to UNI for, to be able to compete in the best conference in FCS football and to be able to do everything they can to have success. So we're glad that things have transpired to give them a chance to be able to do it. It's different. It's new. It's certainly not something that anybody would want to have to do again. But we're glad to have the opportunity, and we're going to continue to support our student-athletes.
And that's one of the things, and once again, we're talking with David Harris. He's the athletic director at UNI. That's one of the nice things about having somebody with the experience of Coach Farley to be able to do that. Such a great leader of men and has been for quite some time. And, you know, he just, with his experience and his knowledge and everything that he brings, he just makes it a lot easier. And I know that he makes it easier for you knowing how well he's going to take care of those young men.
It certainly is easier when you have someone who has significant experience like Coach Farley does. And there are a lot of things that can happen in and around the football program that he has seen before and he's had experience with. And so there's not too much that's going to catch him by surprise or catch him off guard, and that's certainly an advantage for us in the number of things that he's seen, the number of situations that he's been in. So I know that he's relying on that experience as he's helped prepare us to go into the season, and he'll continue to do that as the season progresses.
Well, David, I appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we can get back together when we get closer to the Missouri Valley tourney time and get a couple more games under. I appreciate you coming on and talking UNI Panthers with me.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity, and have a great afternoon.
You too. Thanks, David.
A man who lives and breathes Iowa sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome back in to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I want to thank David Harris for coming in, the athletic director at UNI. Just kind of going over all the crazy things that are happening in college basketball, and I get to follow that up with, I'm going to bring in Kevin Lehman. We're going to talk a little bit. He's got a couple of games this weekend. He has UNI versus Illinois State and Southern Illinois versus Loyola. Kev, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Those are it's the end of the year, and it's got some big games going.
Oh, my goodness. That Iowa-Michigan game tonight, that man, that's a crazy important game right there.
I tell you, they don't get much bigger if you're a Hawkeye fan. And, you know, we I was talking earlier to a couple guys about how if you're a true Hawkeye fan, they kind of always tease you, and you get to the edge of the cliff and you fall off. But this is a great opportunity for this Iowa to get a huge marquee win. And I tell you what, Steiner, if they can finish strong, they could move. You know, I think they're solid 2-seed line, but they could move up to a 1-seed if they can finish this thing out. I really believe that because of what they've got on their schedule at Michigan, at Ohio State, and then Wisconsin back at Carver Hawkeye.
I agree with you. I think nobody's going to be able to pad their resume better than what they're going to do in these next three games. I totally agree. And, you know, they're getting C.J. Frederick back healthy. He's playing more. He helps so much. And you know, these are big games. And you know, I think everybody's right. I don't think in at least two of those games, they're not going to be able to offensively get their way through. They're going to have to keep playing the defense they've been playing. But, boy, those are Ohio State and Michigan are two teams that are a lot harder to defend than some of the others they've played.
Well, the last four games for the Hawkeyes, they're holding teams this like 63 points, about 10 below what they were earlier. This is the best defense I've seen Iowa play in Fran McCaffrey's decade he's been here in Iowa City. And they're going to be challenged tonight because Michigan's going to take their big man, Hunter Dickinson, and he's going to ball screen out in the perimeter. So whether it's Garza or Jack Nunzi, they're going to have to be on their A game on defending ball screens and getting back. And here's what Iowa's really proved, Steve, because you're a basketball guy. Their ability to recover on those long passes and contest the three-point shot and take away the dribble drive, I think that's where they've really improved here in the last four games.
And I agree, and I think a lot of that is when they have some of their younger kids and with more, I think, a little more energy on the defensive end, they've really done that. And to be able to, I mean, like Patrick McCaffrey and the Murray boys, their ability to guard multiple-sized people you know, I think it's starting to rub off. And I, the more and more it works that way, the more Fran's going to say, you know what, maybe we are athletic enough sometimes to really get up and pressure people.
Well, those young guys you're talking about, they fly around. And when you fly around and you're still connected, you're hard to play against. And the depth of Iowa is going to be huge here in these last couple of weeks. They're going to have to get some production off that bench. And some of those things don't show up in the stat sheet because we always look first how many points did they score. But I think you made a great point. Patrick McCaffrey, length in passing lanes, Toussaint, aggressiveness on the ball. But think about this now. They got C.J. Frederick back. If he's healthy, this time he hasn't had a turnover in a Big Ten game, Steen. That's unbelievable
stats.
He has not turned the ball over. And then you got him. If you got Wieskamp, who can shoot the three now at a high level with people in his face and take it to the basket, Bohannon's ability to shoot the three, they really makes it hard for you to get down there and double guards inside. It's almost impossible to leave those shooters. It's going to be a great game here coming up in, what, we got about an hour and a half?
You bet. And I think the other is, you know, how much Iowa brings Garza out to keep Michigan's big from clogging up the middle and making him guard Garza all over and, you know, try to open up some lanes for those guys to, you know, go in and then kick out, which you know, they're going to have to hit some threes tonight. That's what's going to, they're going to have to hit some threes, and man, if they pound the boards, but that's not easy to do against Michigan either.
Well, I was watching stuff on Big Ten Network. John Beilein does a great job of breaking down some plays, and he was showing how Ohio State exposed Michigan with some side ball screens because Michigan tries to, what the term is, ice. They try to shove to the baseline, and they pop back E.J. Liddell to get three. So look for Iowa to do the same with Garza. Side ball screen, pop him back to the middle of the court because Dickinson will drag, but you can drag him down the baseline with that guard. And it's tough to get back. So I think you got a great point here. They can spread out a little bit with Garza, but I still think Garza's got to go inside. You're going to need paint touches and play inside out.
Yeah, and you want to get some foul trouble on. You know, that could be one of the big turning points in this game is does one of the two bigs get in foul trouble, and that totally changes the game. The two games you have UNI, Illinois State, Southern Illinois, Loyola. I know that you came on and said you got off a call with the Loyola coach, and explain to my audience what you explained to me on the phone.
Oh, the Valley seating. So if Drake can win out at Bradley, and you know Bradley's wounded right now because three of their top six players have been suspended for like the last three games on some off-court activity. So I don't think they're going to play against Drake. Of course, we know Drake's wounded too with Roman Penn out and Tank out. But if both teams win out, Loyola Southern at home, Bradley or Drake at Bradley, Drake will get the number one seed because the Valley decided to change and go away from the net this year. Because they weren't sure that you get all 18 games in, which they did. So because Indiana State beat Loyola and Drake swept Indiana State, Drake will be the number one seed going into the Valley Tournament if both teams win out.
Which is a big deal. I mean, that's your bye. So that's a huge deal.
Let me put it this way. Porter Mosier was not happy camper.
I mean, that gives one more, if that happens, that gives one more game for Tank, who I watched film of him working out yesterday. You know, losing Roman Penn's huge. I mean, that's just, you know, anytime you lose somebody that is kind of your leader on the court, and you also just got done losing your top scorer, getting him back even at 80% is going to help them. Even though Drake's still, they're not having a problem scoring, I think it's, you know, just overall confidence would help if they get Tank back.
Well, you had to move people around. And when Sturch was so good coming off the bench, and now he played 40 minutes against Evansville, so you don't have that depth. But here's something else to watch if you're a Valley, if you're a Drake fan. Missouri State is playing at Evansville. Missouri State, if they can get to 75 in the net, they become quad one wins for Drake, which makes Drake's resume for the NCAA tournament even stronger. So you want to cheer for the Bears to win at Evansville this weekend. That's going to be huge because Porter Mosier brought that up. It's going to help his resume also because Loyola also won two games at Missouri State, just like Drake did. They both want that team to be 75 or below in the net because that qualifies you as a quad one road victory.
Once again, we're talking to Kevin Lehman. He is at K Lehman Sports. I know this is a question that's hard to answer, but the way I've watched you and I play twice now, and in the Missouri Valley, can you just take, if AJ Green would have played this year with that group of kids, would they be up there with Drake and Loyola right now? I'm thinking they would be because of size and shooting. He makes that big a difference. Could they get into be, you know, the same as Loyola and Drake?
Well, don't forget Antoine Kimmins.
Yes.
Oh, he's kind of like their Toussaint. He was the activity guy defensively that you come in and can change the activity of your game. So they're also missing him. I tell you what I did. I voted Loyola number one in my preseason ballot because they had everybody back. I mean, their top six guys were back, and they were all going to be seniors. And I had Northern Iowa number two because I thought they were going to miss Spencer Haldeman and Isaiah Brown more than we thought. You had senior leaders there. One's a great defender. One's a guy who could make shots and play both guard positions. So, but I'm with you. If they had A.J. Green and Antoine Kimmins, they wouldn't have to depend on their freshman to play so much.
Right.
Bowen Bourne and Heisey. And I think those kids would be fresher this time right now. But they'd be right at their challenge in those teams. There's A.J. Green. I mean, he was going to be – if he was healthy, he would be player of the year again.
Yep, I agree. And he's just that type of player. And you're correct, especially Bowen Bourne. Not the biggest kid as it is. Big heart and a great basketball player, but not your biggest kid. So, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, giving him 17 minutes a game instead of, you know, 22 minutes a game, it's a big deal after this many games.
Well, no question. If you look at any league, the Valley or any, seniors win, experience win. And I had that discussion with Coach Jake when he was going to play at Loyola. I said, are Heisey and Bowen Bourne now no longer considered freshmen? This was mid-January. He says, no, and here's why. They've never played at the Geoff Tillman Center against Loyola's defense. They've never seen Cameron Crutwig and how he performs. So they're still learning. And especially, Steen, think about this. They're playing Illinois State for the first time on February 26th. They've never seen him before. They've never seen his Zoe defense before. If you would have played him in January, you'd kind of know what to prep for. And as Coach Jake told me today on a conference call with him, we had 8 days of practice. But as you know, your scout team's never as good at running what Illinois State's going to run themselves. So you got that factoring in, too. But this is a big game for Northern Iowa because here's how Jake approached it. I thought this was genius. He told his team, we're already in the Valley tournament. If we win Friday, we win Saturday, we don't play on Thursday.
That's an unsung thing about Coach Jake. And I just had David Harris on, and you know, as he looks as a whole at his coaching staff with Coach Schwab and Coach Farley and Coach Jacobson and Coach Warren, you know, that's experience. And that experience is what helps bring these young kids along.
You know, I've never seen Ben Jacobson panic. I've never seen him get out of sorts. I guess I did one time when Ron Baker hit a three from half court right in front of him, and I was supposed to do the halftime interview, and he blew by me. I tried to tackle him, but he got by me. Because back in the day before COVID, we had interviewed the home team going off court. That's the one time he gave me the brush off. But, yeah, he stays composed, and his team stay composed. And I think Darren DeVries the same way. We saw a lot of fist pumps out of Coach DeVries after he beat Loyola in overtime, and rightfully so. Shows a little emotion more than Coach Jake, but both those guys are so, I mean, they're just Midwestern down-to-earth dudes, and the guys you'd want your son to play for.
Oh, absolutely, and a tribute to, you know, those two schools and being in this state. So with Iowa, and I agree with you, if they could pull off a win tonight or at Ohio State, they have a chance. With everything that's playing out, it does look like the Big Ten's still going to get two number one seeds.
Well, that's a big question that we actually are going to toss around on our broadcast Friday and Saturday. We got two big questions my producers threw at me. One was, can the Big Ten get two number one seeds? And number two, is Duke going to get in the tournament, Steve? What do you think?
I think they're going to sneak in, and if they want to thank somebody like Jalen Johnson, who is one of those, and I don't know everything that was going on, but I hate when people, you don't leave to get ready for the NBA draft. They've played so much better without him in their program that you just have to feel that he just wasn't a great teammate. They might make it.
Oh, I'm looking, I just put together some notes for our broadcast. I mean, here's what they got coming up. Louisville at home, at Georgia Tech, at North Carolina. Quad one, Louisville's a quad two. Then they got the ACC tournament. They got all kinds of opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
And I had this discussion with Ben Jacobson. Look at the opportunities Duke has to build a resume. If you're a mid-major, the way they've changed the structure, you're screwed. You can't play your way into it. Their other question is Belmont, who's 24-1. If Belmont does not win the Ohio Valley Conference, they're not going to the NCAA tournament. They've won 24 games. They have no games against quad ones and quad twos because the Ohio Valley League is not very good this year. Murray State is not as good as it's been in the past. So that's the kind of structure we're seeing right now. It's so difficult for the Valley to get two teams in. That's why this is a huge year with both Drake and Loyola going to get in.
And I have one more question for you, and we got about 40 seconds right around in there. I heard yesterday that there's been a lot of people inside the NBA and some of the players that are thinking about trying to get Kobe as the new logo for the NBA. Being a huge, I'm a big Kobe fan, but even probably being a bigger Jerry West fan, is it time? And Jerry West was fine with it. I mean, and that shows his love for Kobe. It was just interesting that, you know, it's not coming. I mean, it actually even started from the league itself.
Well, I hadn't heard one. That's a great one to think about. You know, I'm a traditionalist, and I love Jerry West as the logo, but I can see where this is going to gain some traction because this is an ever-changing world we're in and ever-changing NBA. I wish there was some way you could do both.
I do too. That's I said the same thing.
Yeah.
That's
possible. You know, but that's, you know, for a tribute to Kobe, but, you know, it's unfortunate that he would have to have an untimely death for him to consider that because shouldn't it be Michael Jordan?
Oh, I'm with you there. You know how big a Michael Jordan fan I am. Kev, as always, man, it's great to talk to you, and we'll talk NCAA basketball next week, buddy.
All right, buddy. We'll see
you. Talk to you later. Kevin Lehman, I've told you that too many times. I could talk hours with him. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. A little weekly wrap-up coming up with Steen next.
1700 The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, and happy Thursday, everybody. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. 7:45 p.m. tonight, Oregon versus Stanford right here on 1700 The Champ. If you want to check us out, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports at 1700 The Champ. You also can look at Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and you can go to the website at 1700thechamp.com. You can listen to the radio show. I do believe that's how Nana does it. And happy Thursday, Nana. Love you. You can also check out my podcast page. It's at Steen on Sports at audioboom.com. If you want to place a bet in Iowa, register at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Easy to download the app. Register using talent code STEEN100 to get great first bet deals. Enjoy boosted odds specials, great parlay selections, daily specials. If you're going to bet in Iowa, please download BetMGM app and enjoy. I want to thank my beautiful wife, Jennifer. Today is our 32nd wedding anniversary. 39 years being together. So pretty much my entire life. So couldn't imagine anything different, couldn't imagine life without her lover to death, as she's working and not listening, so no one will, she'll not know that I just did that for her. So if anybody, you could have my back, you could make sure that I mentioned that today. I did drop her off at work today, so we wished each other a happy anniversary, and I had that from all the kids, too. So a great day. Before we jump back into sports here, I had another knockout come in today. And the knockout this time were comedy actors, and there's only three of them, so you have to knock out one. And they were, the first one is Will Ferrell, the second one is Adam Sandler, and the third one is Jim Carrey. Now, for me personally, Will Ferrell already wins this, so I'm trying to go through my mind on everything that I enjoy about Adam Sandler and Jim Carrey. I love all Adam Sandler movies. My only issue is so many of them are so much alike that sometimes it gets a little monotonous. But since we did just celebrate Happy Gilmore's anniversary of coming out, I probably would lean towards Adam Sandler, but Jim Carrey's had some great, Dumb and Dumber is amazing. And I've actually liked Jim Carrey in some of his more serious roles too. And I'm trying, and for the life of me, I hate when I do this. I can't remember what Adam Sandler's last movie he did, where he was a pawn shop owner. That movie, and it's going to come to me right when I can't say it to anybody. I was so worked up after watching that movie in the theater. I think it's the last time we went to a theater, which was quite a while ago. And I mean, it just, I just couldn't take it. He was so good at performance that he did that was so different than anything he'd done. I mean, it freaked me out, and it was crazy. A crazy thing today, it sounded like today that Demaryius Smith, who represents the National Football League Players Union, kind of came out today and told agents to make sure that they are getting together and colluding to make sure, and teams are not limiting salaries with reduced caps to make sure they were getting enough money to get paid. I almost positive that they really can't do that. So I'm curious to see what happens with that and what comes from that. Since we were talking, and I want to give thanks again to David Harris, the athletic director at UNI. You kind of got the feel of everything that's going on at UNI and all the ups and downs that they've gone through, and you could understand David's, just, it's overwhelming. And I appreciate him coming on. And as always, on Thursdays we talk to Kevin Lehman right before his big weekends, and my hope for the Missouri Valley, and I just get so involved talking to him that I should have asked this. I hope that Loyola and Drake both get bids. I believe that if Drake wins the Missouri Valley, they'll both get a bid. And I think that if they play in the championship game and Loyola beats Drake, I think Drake gets a bid. I think Drake needs to probably get to the semifinals, maybe. Just winning out against Bradley. And Kevin stated today that they have three players that have been suspended for a little bit of conduct issues, so that'll be interesting. Another question that was out there, and it was, I think I'm going to have to give Murph and Andy another kudos here if you were looking at this season in basketball for the University of Iowa and Iowa State. Does this have a chance to be Iowa's best season ever? And is this by far Iowa State's worst season ever? Which one do you believe more? For Iowa, it depends on how they do in the tournament. I mean, I don't know how you kick out the Final Four team with Ronnie Lester. That would be my only thing. That would be awfully hard for me. And then you had a 2 or 3 years right in there. BJ, Kevin Gamble, that group had some 35 win seasons. So it would be close for Iowa State. I don't think there's any doubt this is the worst season in my memory. 55 years, but not that long, I guess. But I mean, talking last night to Matty Nelson, Wide Right Natty Light, it's frustrating. I mean, you see now Baylor, and once again, Baylor had some time away, but you can see how well they can play. As a coach, you have to be able to get that out of them all the time, not just every once in a while. So it's just another one. I just don't know what to say about it at all. We talked a little bit yesterday about you have Baker right now, and Baker Mayfield's for the Cleveland Browns. This is such a difficult position that they're in right now. I think he's due one more year on his rookie contract, and then you have to figure out what you're going to do to sign him. And they have a couple of avenues to look at. You have the Dak Prescott with Dallas. I think putting the tag on Baker would be a little different than Dak, because Dak's more behind the scenes, quiet. Baker's more out there. You know, I think it would bother him, and I think he would voice his disagreement with that. But on the team side of that, you also have two players right now that got traded for absolutely nothing in Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, who were in that, their teams were in that same spot and gave both of them big contracts. And the minute they gave them their big contracts, they, you know, buyer's remorse came quickly, very quickly. And so the Cleveland Browns, you know, if you follow Twitter and you follow Cleveland Browns fans, they love Baker. And I get it. That's Cleveland's type of guy, man. He's a lunch pail in your grill. You know, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. And I think they love that. I just think that it's going to be hard for... And the Browns have plenty of money. They have more money under the salary cap than anybody in the NFL. And... he did take you to, you know, places that you haven't been. And with Kevin Stefanski, maybe he gets better, or maybe what we saw this year is his top of the, you know, his talent level. And I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. That's almost as hard as trying to knock some of these, people out all the time. But, I don't know if I would be willing to spend that much money for that long a contract with somebody that is, I mean, he's, I, if I had to pick, I think I'd put him right in between Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. And I don't even know which one is better or worse. I mean, he's in the top 15 of quarterbacks in the NFL, but I just don't know what you do to pay him that much money. I got one story that I'll do before we hit break in about 30 seconds. And I saw this today on Twitter, and it just it blows my mind, some of the things that happens. But Lady Gaga has two French bulldogs, and her person that she has, and this is typical, you know, she has a person that comes and walks her dogs. And somebody came up and shot her dog walker and stole her two dogs. Now, I don't know if they knew they were Lady Gaga's dogs, or they just see this person walking the dogs all the time and decided they really wanted those dogs. But the crazy stuff that happens, it just blows my mind that I can come to the show and talk about stuff that I think, you know, what's the chances of that happening? And you would think they're not very good, but... you know, more times than not, they are. You have been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. The next two segments are going to be me talking about some other sports action. Jeremy Hall, FB Show _Jam, coming in after that.